Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmally, my co-host here, Dave Popowich. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, good.
It's going to be an interesting day after this whole week of freezing.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting show today because I think what we're going to be talking about that's really going to get people thinking about the future is we had a really good year, 2019, in the stock market. The economy was meh. Wasn't great.
The economy wasn't great.
So what's happening here? Yeah. What happened in 2019? Where's the outlook for 2020? There's a big issue that people aren't talking about when it comes to the economy, mm-hmm. where China is going to be a dominant player and how will it impact you and your future as an individual here in Canada?
How will it impact global trade? What's happening? What's the longer term trend towards global trade?
Yeah.
And are we just talking about trade?
Exactly. It's going to be a great show today because we're going to talk a bit more broader than just mm-hmm. the economics numbers of what happened in 2019 and mm-hmm. what we think 2020. So you got to stick around for that. But this is going to be a very interesting show because we're going to really talk about there is a problem happening in the distant future, and how do we protect ourselves from that?
But in the short term, I have to tell you, the markets are pretty happy.
Yeah.
Right? We got signing of the new NAFTA deal. We've got the signing of the Phase 1 deal with China, the United States. Hey, yeah. Man, the world's a good place.
It's funny how after the USMCA got signed by the Senate, the conversation comes out after everything's been signed saying, this isn't a great deal. There's nothing new.
Right.
Right? The dairy farmers are happy. Like, they're happy about that. But there's no big change from the previous one, is what we're hearing in the media.
You're talking about the U.S. dairy farmers.
From the U.S. Well, the Canadian farmers are happy.
Right.
But there's nothing big on either side of the border. No one's saying this is a game changer.
Right.
Okay. When you look at the U.S.-China trade deal that just happened this week, they go through that 85-page document. Mm-hmm.
Two years of fighting.
And they go, meh.
There's nothing here.
In fact, they were hoping for tariffs to be removed.
Right.
That didn't change. Yep. They're going to punt that till after the election. So this is now ramping up for a re-election time for the current administration, and they want to see what they can negotiate along the way. What I find interesting is the markets are still moving forward. Yes, we had some good earnings news. But if you think about it, especially in the United States, Dave, the amount of money you're paying for a company mm-hmm. for its future earnings is now at the top end or more expensive than average.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so the question is, what would make a person buy a company above the averages if they don't expect the economy to grow at a faster rate? Why would we spend that? So there's risk out there. If we look at some of the numbers that we've received, manufacturing has been in a recession.
Yeah, globally.
Globally.
Right.
We're seeing $1.2 trillion of student debt in the United States. This mm-hmm. is just the United States. Think mm-hmm. about what happens in Canada as well.
Right.
So we're seeing less capabilities for growth.
Right.
Yet we are, as a market, paying more for something. Is it because it's better than bad is good?
To some extent, right? I mean, let's take a look. The surprise, I think, to both you and me last year was the extent to which we had a U.S. rally in equities. And you could extend. The U.S. was the extreme. The rest of the world rallied pretty well.
From the developed nations, yeah.
Yeah, in an economic environment that was not good. It was relatively weak. Yeah, yeah, okay at best. And it's interesting. Now, there's a number of ways that share prices can go higher, right? I mean, companies can buy back their shares, so there's fewer of them, and therefore more profit attached to each share that's out there.
Yeah.
So we've had some of that, for sure. You can increase earnings. We didn't really see that. Certainly not anywhere near the pace.
Starting to see a bit more increase this week with their earnings releases, especially out of the United States. There are right. some more earnings. They're not consistent. They're choppy, but
right.
it's coming in with more news, and more news will happen next week and the week after.
Right. Or we can anticipate that, right? So what the market does is if it anticipates future profit growth, that we could bid up the price, right? Not on an earnings expansion, but on a multiple expansion. I'm prepared to pay 19 times for the earnings instead of 14 times where we started the year on anticipation either that earnings are going to increase or on a relative basis. Like you said, this is just the best of the bad.
You know what I find interesting is that as many industry peers of ours around the world who's saying, what choice do you have?
Right.
Either you buy stocks or you take a very low interest rate in the bond market. And if you look what they consider to be the risk-free rate in the market, it is the 10-year U.S. government bond. And you get a higher dividend on average out of stocks than you do interest out of those bonds.
Right.
What's not being conversed about this whole thing is how much risk are you willing to take on for that additional 1, 2%? That's the differential right now.
Correct.
You're getting less than 2 for a 10-year U.S. government bond. You're getting around 2, maybe 2.5 at the high end on average for U.S. or for stocks.
U.S. div,
So why would you have exorbitant amount more risk for very little increased return? This is going to be the biggest problem for investors, I think, for the next 10 years. As long as interest rates are low, you don't have much of a choice if you rely on purely the cash flow or the dividend or the interest that comes out of it.
Right.
And so then you are now chasing yield, and you're going to take on that risk of that yield. And I don't think people realize that the volatility of the stock market in the last 10 years, which has been a very good run, has been 17 to 22%, depending on which side of the border. So you're taking on 17 to 22% volatility to make one more percent.
Don't say volatility, say downside, right?
Downside.
Because volatility could be the upside too. Those are fun. That's fun stuff.
Yeah, it's easy
down, not so fun.
Correct. And so what challenges me as a portfolio manager is I have to manage the risk and the volatility on the downside for our clients.
Right.
How much risk are we willing to take for our clients to make an additional 1 or 2%? And this is the battle that people are going to face. They're going to see some great returns out there from an ABC mutual fund or an ETF, an exchange-traded fund or a money manager or whatever it may be, and they were chasing that past performance to get what?
Right.
More risk.
Right.
And so this is where gut check comes into play. And most people won't react this way. They'll go after that return until it doesn't work.
Yeah. I did a bit of a rant, and I think we're going to have that rant out on, I think it's going to go out on LinkedIn or something in the not too distant future, talking about this discipline. Right. And so one of the things that I'm seeing in conversations with clients early in the beginning of the year is that fear of missing out, that FOMO that we talk about.
Yeah.
Should we be increasing our exposure to equities? Right. And there's a number of questions you ask in that, scenario. But to what extent are we increasing the risk? So you can't chase return in the absence of risk. And I think that's what you're saying. And it's hard for people because as an industry, we've never taught anybody about risk adjusted rate of return. Right. And I think that people need to consider and just think about 2018. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, you think about 2018 and you think, boy, if I was all equity exposed in the United States, because that's been the place to be, I was down 20% in 3 months. You had $1 million portfolio. $200,000 was gone. Now, the fact is it came back very quick, but it doesn't have to.
Yeah. And do you want that experience?
Right. Do you want that experience?
Because then the emotional reaction kicks in. And and I like the phrase that you've used for years now is in the absence of risk,
right,
the rate of return is the only thing we measure.
Right.
And so our advice to everybody is, first of all, sit down with a professional.
Yep.
Secondly, understand how much downside you're willing to take in dollar form.
Right.
Forget about percentages.
Right.
Can you take $200,000 like you just mentioned?
On a $1 million portfolio.
On a $1 million portfolio. If you cannot take that risk at any point in time,
right,
regardless of how quickly it recovers,
right,
then you need to ask yourself, are you prepared to take that investment on?
Right. That profile. Yeah, I agree.
And so that's the learning outcome for today. I think people need to understand that. And we've got a great guest coming on after
the
break. What we're going to talk about is what happened in 2019 from an economic perspective globally and here in Canada. And then we're going to talk about something that most economists and the media are not discussing.
Yes.
This is a bigger problem than trade war.
Right.
It's not a trade war problem. It is a bigger problem than that. So we want to make sure you stick around because after the break, we are going to discuss with our guest how this economy may be going the wrong direction than you expect.
Mm.
Now, in that situation, you need to have a strategy,
right,
a plan, more importantly, a structure that will ride you through all these economic issues. And so we're going to explain that at our seminar on Tuesday, January 21st, 7 p.m. at the Hamptons golf course. You need to reserve your seats. So give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or you can register online with morethanmoneyradio.com.
Stick around after the break. We'll find out what went right in 2019 and what risks we face going forward in 2020. You're on 770 CHQR in More Than Money.